We are continuing our series, Following Jesus, as we walk through the Gospel of Luke. And this morning we're looking at Wading into the Water, the story of Jesus' baptism. And so we are in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 through 23. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we're looking at Jesus' baptism this morning and thinking about wading into the water. I heard about this pastor who was with the elders and they were doing a baptismal service out by a muddy river, and they saw this person walking down this country road, and so the pastor shouted out to him if he'd like to find Jesus. And so the man said, sure. And so the pastor invited him down to the water, and he and the elders led this man out into the waters in this muddy river. And so they dunked him, and then they got him back up, and the pastor said, did you find Jesus? And the man said, no. And so the pastor and elders put him out a little deeper in the river and ducked him down a little bit longer this time, brought him back up, and the pastor looked at the man and said, did you find Jesus? And the man said, no. And so the pastor and elder took him even deeper out in the river. And this time they dunked him. About a minute he was down there, came up spitting and sputtering. The pastor said, did you find Jesus? And the man said, no. Are you sure this is where he went in? Well, I don't know what your story of baptism is. A lot of us have been baptized right here in this church at this baptismal font. I grew up in a small church where they used to baptize folks out in the river or in the pond. And at my baptism, I wasn't baptized as a baby, I was baptized as a young person. And we lived out in the country in Pennsylvania, and we had just dug this pond, this fishing pond, with help of the Pennsylvania Fish Commission. It was about 3/4 of an acre big. And, I mean, it was muddy. It was bulldozed out and everything. And the church decided we'd have the baptismal service out there. Well, it was kind of interesting because everything was still mud. Even the banks of the pond were still mud. And so people would try to navigate out into this muddy pond. And, you know, some of them almost got baptized ahead of time. And one person that came up and a fish jumped out of the water. And so that was a dramatic moment. People applauded for that. And so my turn came up. And I was trying to make my way down into this muddy water. And once again, afraid that I might get baptized a little too early if I slipped on the mud, and then pastor and elder ducked me down the water and brought me back up, and then, as was the custom, that people would sing a chorus, and so it was an amazing moment. But I can tell you, the water was not the crystal clear water that we have here. I try to use this warm water, so if it's a baby, it doesn't wake them up too fast, and so it was cold, muddy water. But how many have at least had some experience with muddy water? Anybody have a muddy water experience, swimming in muddy water, hopefully not drinking muddy water? I enjoy camping. My daughter's version of camping is a bed and breakfast. And I know there's probably some folks out there. Yeah, I see some thumbs going up there. But I like to go out actually camping many times. But there's only two things that I need. I enjoy camping, but I need two things, which is, one, a hot cup of coffee and a shower. If I have that, I can do anything almost. So I was out camping one time and we really had neither. So I had a cup of coffee without the filters. You ever done that? Where you just throw the coffee in there and, you know, it's supposed to work and then you dump it in. Yeah. So anyway, it doesn't work all that well. So I had that, and then I was feeling just like I needed that, something like a shower experience. And there's a muddy river out there, and I thought, you know, I'll go ahead and give that a try, since I gave the coffee a try. And then waded out to the river and kind of ducked myself, came back up. And I'm not sure whether I was dirtier or cleaner when I came up out of that river. I'm not sure I smelled better either. But maybe you've had a dirty water experience, if not a baptismal like that. And so when you think about this story of Jesus' baptism, John, of course, is there baptizing people in the baptism of repentance. And Jesus comes along and asked to be baptized. John the Baptist says, I'm not worthy to even reach down and untie the laces on your sandals. But Jesus insists, and so he is walked out into this muddy river. Now, if you look at the card, if you go into the store, if you're going to be baptized, you have a relative that's going to be baptized, and you kind of go into the Hallmark section, you'll see these pictures of Jesus, And they're just beautiful, crystal clear kind of, it's like it's a spa. You know what I mean? Jesus is some Mediterranean spa being baptized. But that's not the case, right? And we like that. We do the clean water thing. And I even make sure it's warm so it doesn't surprise the babies. But I always love baptism. But in this moment, Luke wants us to know in this gospel, he says, and when all the other people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. That means that not only did Jesus walk into the muddy Jordan River waters, but Jesus also walked into the mud and filth of all the other people that were there in that morning. Now, that's interesting because our temptation is one of two things, I think. The first is to just clean it up and make it kind of this spa-like moment. I mean, it is a very spiritual moment. There's no doubt about that. Jesus is hearing the Father's call. The Spirit comes down. There's a voice of God's affirmation of his ministry. It's the beginning of ministry. From there, Jesus will go into the wilderness for temptation, and then when he comes out, he'll begin calling the disciples. But we want to take this moment maybe and just make it just a spa-like moment, a Perrier water kind of moment. And so we can do that. That wouldn't be really true to Scripture. Or maybe we can really embrace it for what it is. In a moment in which Jesus walks in not only to the muddy waters of the Jordan, but Jesus also walks into the mud and filth that came off all the multitude who'd been baptized too. And I think maybe that's something that Luke would whisper to us this morning. So when Jesus was following God's call, that was part of it, but was also part and parcel that Jesus was walking into the hurt and pain of our lives. Jesus was wading into the mud and filth of our lives, the brokenness of our lives. Jesus walked into a river full of tears that we would shed. Jesus walked into all the hurt and brokenness and sickness that we would know. Jesus walked in and not only walked into it, but was immersed into it, knowing that Jesus would go from there and Jesus would heal a leper who was sick. Jesus would raise Lazarus from a tomb where he was dead. Jesus would walk into poverty. Jesus would reach out to those who were the last, the lonely, the least, and the outcast of society. And in doing so, Jesus was immersing his life in the ministry that God had for him as the only Son of God, the only person who could do that. And I think when we come to worship, sometimes we feel like we need to clean ourselves up, right? We think, well, I need to be perfect to go into the church, God's family. Well, if you were perfect, then, you know, all the rest of us would feel bad too. So you might as well join the imperfect family. But the truth is that Jesus embraces us like we are, for who we are. Jesus wades into our brokenness and reaches out his hand and hugs us and offers healing in our brokenness. Jesus comes into our grief, someone who experienced the grief, not only the loss of Lazarus and the raising of the dead, but the giving of his own life that we would know God's love and forgiveness and grace. Jesus embraces our sickness and is there immersed into the pain of being in the hospital and the nursing home and all those things that we look at as the hurt and disappointments of life. Jesus, when he walked into the River Jordan, Jesus, when all the other people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. What is it in your life this morning that just seems too hurt or painful or dirty or muddy that you think that God can't embrace you? Know that Jesus gave his life, and that was the beginning of Jesus giving his life, in that moment in the Jordan when he was baptized into all of that hurt and pain and the wounds of society. Jesus specifically has that imagery there of the suffering servant. And so Jesus is being baptized into our hurt and wounds that we would know God's forgiveness and grace as he was raised to new life. There's a great story about Father Damien, who was this priest who decided to give up this parish in Hawaii and go to the island of Molokai in Hawaii. And the reason he went to the island of Molokai, and this was in the 19th century, was there was a leper colony there. And no one would minister to the lepers. And so Father Damien decided what he needed to do was to go to the leper colony and to minister to them. And so for a number of months, Father Damien was ministering to lepers. And every morning he'd go out among the lepers and he'd say, listen, God loves you lepers. God loves you lepers. And it had a modest effect on lepers. Well, he spent enough time there that one day Father Damien realized that he had contracted leprosy himself. And one morning he went out to the lepers and said, God loves us lepers, not God loves you lepers. And that made all the difference in the world.
end up giving his life, his ministry. There's a marker on the island of Molokai that commemorates his ministry among the lepers. I think Jesus would celebrate that. And maybe that's exactly what Jesus was doing, coming into our lives, into our pain and grief, our brokenness and our sins, and embracing us with God's love. God's love that embraces us and lifts us up. I love the imagery of that Psalm 40 that I read at the beginning of worship, and it's so great because the psalmist says, I was there in the mud and mire, and God lift me up. I think the image that Jesus would say is that Jesus gets down in the mud and mire and lifts us up with him and gives us a new song to sing, and our lives are forever changed, and many will see and hear and be blessed. Karl Barth was a famous theologian of the 20th century. In fact, probably the most famous theologian of the 20th century. He carried on this diatribe against Hitler. He wrote the Barman Confession, which was used with a confessing church against Hitler. He wrote more volumes of theology in addition to that than anyone else that I know. In fact, I don't think I've ever met someone who's read entirely through all the volumes of theology of Karl Barth. But he was at Harvard one day. He was giving a very prestigious series of lectures, and at the end of the lecture, they had this Q&A session, and one student lifted his hand, probably a sophomore, you know, and lifted his hand and said, Dr. Barth, what is the most profound theological truth that you've ever heard in your life? And without a moment's hesitation, Barth said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are weak, but he is strong. Jesus loves me, this I know. The most profound truth. And I think Jesus in this moment of baptism is wading into our sin, our sorrow, our hurt, our shame, our grief, our sickness, and saying, I am there for you. I've come from the Father so that you might know me and that I might know you. And so Jesus lifts us up out of the water today. I think it's a call not only that we see in our own lives as we look to God and ask God for forgiveness and grace, but a call that Jesus invites us into as sisters and brothers in Christ, as we minister to those in our community and around the world, to go out into the world and to see the brokenness and hurt of the lives around us, and to reach out even to the last, the lonely, the least, the marginalized in our society. You may have had a moment where you are holding the hand of a person who is dying, or you may be there in a hospital with someone who is facing surgery, or you may go visit a person who feels cut off from society. I think in those moments we are wading in with Jesus into the River Jordan, a river that is muddy, full of the wounds and hurts of society, but you and I are part of the healing and empowered by the Holy Spirit, even as Jesus was. You and I could never completely be Jesus, obviously, but Jesus has called us the body of Christ. And so you and I collectively together all have a ministry there too. Once heard a lecture by Stephen Foster, who wrote a number of well-known books, among them Celebration of Discipline on Protestants discovering some of the Catholic disciplines, spiritual disciplines, and also had a great book on prayer, some other books. But he was giving this lecture on the spiritual disciplines, and then afterwards people were doing this Q&A with him and sharing some of their own moments. And in one particular moment, this man got up and shared how that he had gone to see Mother Teresa in India. He's always admired Mother Teresa, and so this was something that he looked forward to for a long time. And you can go over to India, even sort of be where she was in ministry, but he had actually secured a moment when he would speak to Mother Teresa, and he was overwhelmed. He kind of envisioned this prayer moment with Mother Teresa, and so he goes to meet Mother Teresa, and she has a few words with him, and then she directs him to take these baskets of laundry that are full of the dirty clothes from people in the hospital and the clinic and the orphanage, and to take them out into the river and to wash them by hand. And that wasn't exactly what he was looking for. Understand, he was waiting for a prayer moment, right? And so he was a bit offended by it and, you know, hurt and what have you. And so, but he did what Mother Teresa asked him. So he took up this basket and he waded into this muddy river. Over there in India, the muddy river cleans it better than just leaving the clothes there. And so he began to wash waist-deep with these clothes of the people that had been in the hospital and the clinic, the orphans. And as he was doing it, he began to realize that he was there embracing the wounds, even as Jesus had washed the feet of the disciples. And Jesus had other moments, in, like this Jordan River moment. And so it became an exercise of prayer as he's washing these clothes of the sick and of the poor and of the orphans. And he said, you know, it was the most powerful spiritual experience that he ever had. as you shared in that moment, it was just amazing. And so I think, you know, that might not be our moment, but it was a moment I think that Mother Teresa understood, because she herself had been in the river washing the clothes of the poor, wiping the tears of those who were outcast, and embracing those who felt lonely and afraid and forgotten. You and I, too, in our own moments, wherever that is, be it India or here, wherever we are, God asks us, even invites us and challenges us to wade into the River Jordan, to go out into the muddy waters of life. You can just see how muddy it is when you read the newspapers, but you don't even need to do that. Look around, even in our own church. People are hurting and broken and wounded. You and I have the opportunity to make all the difference, but we don't do it alone. We do it through God's Spirit, and we do it not to earn God's grace, but in return for God's grace and love. The first and most important thing to see this morning is, wherever you are this morning, know that there's not a life too muddy that Jesus can embrace you with arms of love. Whatever you've done in the past, you may feel guilty about, Jesus embraces you with arms of forgiveness. If you feel heartbroken and wounded and a moment of loss and grief, Jesus embraces you. He's waded into the river of our tears with love and grace, and he offers us strength. I love that verse from Titus that Nancy read that I just think is beautiful. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. God comes to us to wash away our mud and filth, our hurt and wounded us. He embraces us and lifts us up. And that psalm that we use as our call to worship, I love that. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy, muddy pit and set my feet on a rock. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. Jesus got down there in the mud and slime with us and lifts us up and offers us love and grace in a positive, powerful way. I want to close with this thought, which is that all the Gospels record Jesus' baptism, but Luke includes something that no other Gospel does. The detail that Luke includes is, he says this, that Jesus prayed. Now, Luke's Gospel focuses a lot on prayer as well as some other themes, but Luke tells us that Jesus prayed, and I think that's an important moment because I think Luke wants to highlight that as Jesus went down in this moment, knowing that he was wading into the hurt and muddiness of humanity, he prayed that God would sustain him. He knew what lay ahead. He knew that this was the beginning of a life of ministry that would be filled with tears and hurt, and he had to be willing to give his own life, and he would be immersed, baptized into us, so that he could bring new life to us through the cross and resurrection. And so he prayed. And when we pray today, we pray to a Savior who knows our hurts, our griefs, our heartaches, and our heartbreaks like none other. One last thought, which is that back in 2016, the city of Paris closed the canal Saint-Martin. Everything sounds better in French, doesn't it? But in any case, now, Saint-Martin is this canal in Paris that was built by the command of none other than Napoleon in 1802. And it's a beautiful scenic place. People take photographs there all the time. But it does get muddy and filthy and grimy. In fact, so muddy and filthy and grimy that every 20 to 50 years, they close the canal and they drain it and they clear all the gunk out of it. And so you can see pictures online. They did it in 2016, but almost 20 years since they did that previously. And so amid the mud and filth and grime of them draining that, were rusty bicycles thrown in there. There was a scooter that I promise you will never run again. There were drug syringes and needles. There were pistols and rifles and knives. All the gunk and brokenness of life and society. And they cleaned it all out, made it nice and clean. But the question I have for us to reflect on this morning, if is Jesus was going to be baptized in the canal Saint-Martin in Paris, would Jesus wait for it to be cleaned out, or would Jesus wade into the mud and filth and rusty bicycles and knives and syringes and pistols that are there? I know what I think. I think that Jesus would wade right out there into the brokenness of humanity, into the mud and hurt of our lives. And he would do it because he loves us, each and every one of us. And I think he would invite us to do the same in ministry. So I challenge all of us to open our hearts and lives to Jesus' grace and love, a grace and love that reaches down to us in whatever mud of humanity that we're in and offers us forgiveness and God's love and grace, and then invites us through the power of the Spirit to join in ministry to others in the same place. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace this morning, a grace that reaches down to us in our tears and our brokenness and the muddiness of life and wades out and baptizes him so that he can raise us to new life. But help us to open our lives to your forgiveness and grace this morning and reach out to others who are lost and lonely and hurting and broken. In the name of Christ Jesus and all God's people said, amen.